Friday, January 13th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. What you think of institutional investment in farmland may be determined by whether you are buying or selling. With 10% of farmland expected to change hands by 2019 because of age demographics of owners, the more buyers there are, the better. Much of this land will be transferred within family, so what the Republicans do with estate taxes, stepped-up basis, and capital gains tax rates will have a major impact on farmland values. Not all states allow institutional investment in farmland. Illinois does, Iowa does not. The institutional farmland buyer making headlines has been Farmland Partners, who recently bought another large tract in Illinois. Progressive Farmer says they had 133,000 acres in 16 states. From talking to professional farm managers in regions where they have purchased land, the price they have paid has been on the high end of the market. I do not see farmland prices as being in any bubble, but it is also hard to see whether they are poised to reverse the downtrend that they are in. Values have fallen 15% from highs and could decline unevenly another 10% or so. Lenders restricted the level of debt that they would allow for farmland purchases, and as a general statement, some lenders have been looking for loans as buyers pay cash. Top quality still brings top dollar. Poor quality land was the most overvalued in the recent boom. Some of it needs to go back to grass. Farmland values are a component of net farm income and interest rate returns. Both those drivers are heading in the wrong direction for farmland price gains at this time. Some are bullish, expecting inflation to again boost farmland values. But the history is that gains generated by inflation create bubbles and risk as in the 1980s. Given that Deere is still selling combines and tractors, the end of the farm economic stratus that is buying farmland has not been damaged much by this ag downturn. Debt-to-asset ratios are increasing, but at 13% is still not a threat. However, one way or another, farmers are going to need to start making money again so they do not have to continually restructure debt in order to pay current bills. I worry that there's a lot of grain in bins with no downside protection where the market plan can be summed up in one word, hope. There is consensus that the markets have bottomed and finances will get better this year. Good luck with that. The dollar was lower, not having a good week. It has not broken down enough yet to have turned bearish. The dollar strength has become more focused on specific currencies like the peso rather than in general and needed a correction. The dollar index has weighted heavily against the euro. The Trump trades that had run hard since the election were all seeing corrections in the new year, except for stocks where the correction was sideways consolidation. It may be hard for reality to keep up with the Trump optimism. One member of the Fed says that without factoring in accelerated growth due to Trump's stimulus, that there would be just one interest rate hike instead of three is currently forecast for this year. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. A Texas panhandle producer told me that their irrigated corn didn't perform last year while their cotton was phenomenal. They had enough water for both, but he said they had too much heat, which cotton handles, but corn didn't. They expected 280 to 320 bushel per acre corn from irrigated acres and got 230 to 250, which he attributed to warm nights. Looking at how USDA adjusted the state corn yields in the recent report, the warm summer weather negatively impacted southern and eastern states, while northern and western states did better. USDA flipped Iowa and Illinois around for the highest yields. They reduced Illinois corn down 5 bushel per acre to 197, while increasing the Iowa yield 4 bushel per acre to 203. They increased Michigan 2 bushel, Minnesota 3, North Dakota 4 bushel, and South Dakota a whopping 12 bushel per acre. Besides Illinois, they took down the yield in Ohio, Indiana, Missouri, and Kansas. USDA cut the soybean yield 3 bushel per acre in Illinois to 59, while it increased the yield 1.5 bushel per acre to 60.5 in Iowa. Again, they flipped Illinois and Iowa for the yield leader. They took a bushel or more off of Indiana, Nebraska, Missouri, Michigan, and Arkansas, and didn't quite find enough soybeans elsewhere to offset that. On-farm soybean stocks were up 2%, and off-farm stocks were up 11%. On-farm wheat stocks were up 13%, and off-farm wheat stocks were up 21%. On-farm corn stocks were up 11%, while off-farm corn stocks are up 8%. Farmers will always complain about USDA, but Thursday's reports could have been worse. They essentially revised what turned out to be overstated 2016 corn and soybean crops, with modest reductions in supply. These kinds of adjustments could be described as one-time changes to the balance sheet that don't have reaching implications. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.